Being Thanksgiving Sunday, I want to digress on Sunday morning from our usual pattern of taking our Sunday morning message from the portion that we've been reading through the Bible, and like to just look at 107 of Psalm again, 107, verse 1, where he said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Thinking of the importance of giving thanks. You know, it's just a part of good breeding. One of the earliest social graces that a child learns is to say thank you. I can remember when I was just a little fellow, someone give me something, my parents would say, "Now what do you say?" You know, and it's just a part of social etiquette. It's just important to learn to give thanks. Our first daughter was an early talker. And because she only had us as her parents, she didn't really learn to talk baby talk. She talked very clearly and distinctly from the beginning. She was very articulate from a very early age. I can remember when we were bringing our son Chuck home from the hospital after he was born. She was just 2 years and 3 months at the time. And as we were there in Tucson, we were driving down the street, and there was a church there, and as is oftentimes the case, the architect likes to, you know, display his imaginative skills, and the roof of the church was, it looked like it was ready to fly. It was really weird looking. And as we came by the church, she said, "Look at that church, isn't it hideous?" And my wife and I turned to each other, and we were shocked, you know, that at 2 years and 3 months she had such a vocabulary, and she said what we were thinking. But very, very early she learned to say very clearly, "Thank you." And we were quite proud of her. Because she could say it distinctly and clearly, and you could understand it. We had an elder in our church, and evidently, when he was trying to teach his children how to say thank you, they got out a ta-ta, and they thought that was very cute, hand them something ta-ta. And so he was trying to teach our little daughter to say ta-ta when she could say thank you distinctly. And I can remember how upset I was with him. You know, trying to teach her to talk baby talk when here she can articulate clearly. But it is a part of social grooming. It begins early in our lives, and it is something that is just a part of good breeding. Learning to express thanks for some goodness that has been given or offered. But more than just good social breeding, it is something that is actually commanded in the scriptures. Oh, give thanks. That's a commandment. And over again throughout the scriptures, you will discover that we are commanded by God to give thanks. Under the law, there was a command for a thanksgiving offering to be given to the Lord, which was a part of the peace offerings. Now, all of the sacrifices were not just for sin. There were other sacrifices, and to me, the peace offering was one of the most beautiful of the sacrifices that they gave to God. It was the thanksgiving peace offering. And in reality, it was just saying to God, I'd like to just hang out with you for a while. I want to just commune. It's just when you felt your heart filled with thanksgiving to the Lord, and you just want to sit with the Lord and just spend some time. No petitions, but just spending time with him. You would bring your sacrifice to the priest. He would offer it there upon the altar. They would roast the meat. A part of it would be given to God, burnt to the Lord, but the rest of it was given back to you, and you would sit there with your family, and the idea was you've given part of it to God that he might partake, but the rest of it you just sit and enjoy together as you eat with God. And your family is there just communing with God, eating with God in the peace offering, and to me that was one of the most beautiful of the offerings of the Old Testament in the sacrifice offerings, that of the thanksgiving peace offering that was made unto God. And details for it are given to us in Leviticus. Over and over again in the scriptures, it sort of says, now, what do you say? Commanded of us to actually give thanks to the Lord. One of the indictments that Paul uses against the world that is going to prompt the wrath of God is that because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were they thankful. It is interesting how that the people of God, it seems through the wilderness, were constantly murmuring. Now here they were being delivered from their slavery, that miserable existence as slaves in Egypt. God was bringing them to a land that would be their land. God was going to establish them as a nation, as his people. And yet the consistent and constant characteristic of these people was that of murmuring, even against God's provisions. The manna that God provided for them daily, they finally began to murmur against it and said, we're sick of this manna, we're tired of it. And what a tragedy that God's people should be guilty of murmuring. Instead of thankfulness, they were complaining. Now, I have observed, and perhaps you too, that there are many people who are very slow to give thanks, but very quick to gripe and to complain. It's a grievous fault. And if you are afflicted with this characteristic, I would recommend that you seek God to change your attitude. That you be very slow to complain and very quick to give thanks. It is really a pain to be around someone who is constantly griping and constantly complaining, constantly whining. And if you find people shunning you, maybe you should check your attitude as well as your breath. It could be that they just don't like to be around you because of your constant complaining. Oh, give thanks, the commandment, to the Lord. Now, if we are taught in social graces to give thanks to each other or to someone who has been a benefactor to us in some way, how much more should we be giving thanks unto the Lord? Why? Well, he tells us because he is good. The English word good and God are associated together. In fact, the English word for God comes from the word good, just the taking out of one O, because God is associated with goodness. God is good. Now, this is one of the parts of God's nature that Satan is constantly challenging. He challenges this truth, and he usually begins the challenge with, if God is good, then why? And he will point out to some tragedy, some mishap, some painful experience, and he challenges in our minds the goodness of God. If God is good, then why would God allow these things to happen? Now, it is true that there is an awful lot of evil in the world today. We are living in a world that is corrupted by the evil powers. And bad things are happening to people all over the world. But it is interesting that if you are a child of God, the scripture tells us that all things are working together for good. Now, if you're not a child of God, that doesn't apply. But if you are a child of God, all things are working together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. So that as a child of God, I can have the confidence that though something comes into my life that seems to be a horrible tragedy, then I can know that God is from this tragedy going to bring some good from it. Nothing happens to me but what God will bring forth from it a good purpose. And oftentimes, God uses what we might construe to be something that is just so horrible, almost unthinkably horrible. God will use that for a good purpose. Somehow we get in our minds, if something wrong takes place, that God is angry with us, God is punishing us, that surely if God loved us, he would not allow us to experience this kind of sorrow or this kind of suffering. But all I have to do is point to one example, and that's to his only begotten Son. What happened to Jesus Christ would seem to be of the greatest and worst evil that could happen to any person. God allowed his only begotten Son to experience the pain, the suffering, the ignominy of a horrible, torturous death. I mean, I can't think of anything worse that could happen to a person than to be mocked, scourged, and crucified, while the crowd jeered. And yet, as horrible and as evil as that might appear, look at the good that God has wrought through the suffering of Jesus Christ, our Savior. all things work together for good. Now, Satan, when Jesus was hanging there on the cross, could very well have said, if the Father loves you, why would he allow this? If God's so good, why are you hanging here? But God was working out an eternal purpose, and that's always what the case is. That's why we have difficulty understanding the things that happen in our lives, because God is working out an eternal purpose, and I'm far more interested in my temporary welfare than I am the eternal good. But God is always more interested in the eternal good than he is my temporal comfort. And so he may let me go through some uncomfortable experiences. He may allow me to experience some pain, some sorrow, some suffering, hurts. But if he has allowed it, it is because he is working out in me his eternal plan. So give thanks unto God, for he is good. Satan will challenge that, but never question it. Know this, let it be one of the foundations of your faith. God is good. Give thanks unto God, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. I see the wicked prospering, and it upsets me. I think if I were God, I would wipe them out. Now, I wouldn't let them go on another day in their blasphemy against me. And oftentimes I cry, God, why do you allow such wicked people to continue? And the answer comes back, his mercy endureth forever. Now, how beautiful it is to experience the mercy of God. David, after he was caught with Bathsheba, the sin was exposed, he prayed, have mercy upon me, O God, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. David cast himself upon the mercy of God. Now, it is interesting, before this happened, you find David often saying, Lord, I want what I deserve, you know, so to speak. He was sort of saying, justice, Lord, justice. But his cry changed from justice to mercy, Lord, mercy. I never asked God for justice. I never want what I deserve. I need and I appreciate the mercy of God. And his mercy endureth forever. Whenever I come and say, mercy, Lord, mercy. We remember how Jesus talked about the two persons who were praying. The one, a Pharisee, whose prayer was essentially, Lord, I want justice. I'm such a good man. I do everything right. I'm not like this sinner over here. And how that sinner over there would not even as much as lift his head towards heaven, but with head bowed, just smote on his chest and said, Oh God, have mercy unto me, a sinner. And Jesus said, he went away justified, forgiven, cleansed, pardoned. His prayer was heard. God's mercy. David tells us that for as the heaven is high above the earth, So great is his mercy towards those that fear him. Now, our text is not really talking so much, though, about the greatness of God's mercy, though that is a subject in itself, but our text is talking about the longevity. His mercy endureth forever. God will ever be merciful to me. I never need to fear that God's going to kick me out of heaven someday. Because I made another mistake or blundered again, God's going to say, oh, get out of here. His mercy endureth forever. Having experienced the mercies of God, I shall always experience those mercies. David, it is interesting, through the Psalms, prayed for mercy. Have mercy upon me. He said, for I am weak. Confession. God, I need your mercy because I'm weak. I'm prone to failure. And so I need your mercy. He said, God, have mercy upon me, for I have sinned. And we need God's mercies because of our sin. David said, have mercy upon me, for I am in trouble. And there are times when we get into trouble, and the trouble is of our own making. It's of our own doing. And we need the mercy of God. And then David said, have mercy upon me because I am desolate. I have no other place to turn. And then again, have mercy upon me because of the contempt of my enemies. They are so contemptuous against me. But Lord, in contrast, you have mercy upon me. I think of the importance of expressing our thanks to God. The next verse said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, some people may say, well, I'm just not a very expressive person. I sort of hold things inside. And God knows that in my heart I'm thankful. Well, what about when you've got something to gripe about? Are you still very quiet and you keep it inside? Or does everybody know when you're not pleased with something? You know, are you sure to make that known? You see, there's an inconsistency here. If you openly express your complaints, then surely you should openly confess your thanksgiving to God for his goodness and for his blessings. Now, this being Thanksgiving week, I think it would be good, especially for you who are parents with younger children, to have them sit down this week and write out a list of things for which they are thankful. Sort of let them compete and find out who can make the longest list of things for which they are thankful. Give them a challenge to write down all of the things that they are thankful for, and then go over that list with them, maybe on Thanksgiving Day. After you have eaten the meal, maybe they'll found a few other things to be thankful for, like pumpkin pie and whipped cream and like stuff like that after the meal. But go over with them. I think that you would be blessed. I know they will be blessed because they have expressed their thanksgiving. And it's just a good thing. Oh, give thanks, for it is good. It's just a good thing. And it brings blessings. I sort of join with the oft-repeated phrase of Psalm 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Over and over, we find the psalmist crying out, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works. Oh, that we would praise the Lord. You know, I don't think the Lord would mind if you would start your celebration of Thanksgiving early, maybe even today. Get a jump on the holiday. And let's just learn to give thanks, for he is good. In fact, maybe you should make out a list too. Of things for which I am thankful. Shall we pray? Father, how thankful we are that we are your people, the sheep of your pasture, that you have loved us, you have created us, and you have called us, that we should know you and that we should experience the joy, the blessings, the glory of fellowshipping with the eternal God. Forgive us, Lord, for that attitude of murmuring or complaining. And Lord, may we more and more learn to give thanks in all things, knowing that this is your will for us in Christ Jesus. May we be a thankful people. And may we offer unto you the sacrifice of thanksgiving as we lift our voices in praise and worship. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Shall we stand? On your way home from church today, why don't you go through the alphabet and A is for something you're thankful for. B is for something you're thankful for. C is for children or something else you're thankful for. And just church, right. A lot of things, right. Do it. Go for it. And just, you know, through the alphabet and just start expressing your thankfulness to God for all things. He is so good. May the Lord be with you and may you have just a glorious week filled with praises, songs of thanksgiving, worshiping God, enjoying just time together with him in beautiful fellowship.